We have ended our series of studies on discovering Christ in the Old Testament. We went through the types, the symbolism, and the sacrifices, and also we study and discover for ourselves Christ through the Theophany. This evening, like what we have done this morning, I'd like to once again bring us back to the basics, so to speak. What it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. What it means to be a Christian. What it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And some of us, we have been followers and disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ for a long time. But it's good to review. It's good to reflect. It's good to ask ourselves again, especially as the year draws to a close soon. How have we been living our lives as a follower and a disciple of the Lord Jesus? Have we really understood what it means, the demand of it, and the cost to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus? Have we really considered that? And so it is good to ask ourselves whether we have been following the Lord Jesus during this whole year. What have we done for the Lord? Have we counted the cost? Have we considered very carefully? Oftentimes we, and many there are, who at the spur of a moment all would like to come into the church, or when under the invitation of during a perhaps an evangelistic meeting, or when a friend comes to us and share with us the gospel, many are willing to launch, many are willing to take that leap, to come forward, to receive the Lord Jesus. But have we really considered the cost? The Lord Jesus begins this course when He saw. Please turn to Luke 14 and keep your Bible open to verse 25 and following. The Lord Jesus saw here a great multitude following Him. And so we are told in verse 25, when He saw the crowd following Him, the multitudes with Him, He turned and taught them this lesson. The cost of discipleship, the high demand of the cross and the gospel. And so the first condition we want to see for ourselves here in all these verses, and this passage is not new to most of us here, I trust, that you have already heard this before or you have read this before. And we see for ourselves here the first condition we must meet to be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first condition is this: be ready to make sacrifices. Be ready to make sacrifices. Verse 26 would be a verse in the Bible which most of you have read many times over, or you have heard it quoted many times in sermons, isn't it? But the true meaning of this verse, I trust also that you will have no difficulty to grapple with. It is not a verse that teaches us to truly hate our mothers and fathers and our wives and our children. You would have understood that Jesus is not teaching us to do that, to hate our fathers, mothers and children. If it is so, if this is what this verse 26 is teaching us, then the Lord Jesus is teaching us to break the commandments. What is the commandments of the Lord? To love your neighbor as yourself. And so to do that will be breaking the commandments of the Lord to love others and to love even our enemies. And so this would mean contradicting His own teaching, isn't it? Verse 26 clearly teaches us is this, that to be a believer, to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 26 is teaching us this, that we must be ready to give Him only our wholehearted devotion and worship, even over the love for our family or our kinsmen. This is the essence of verse 26. Are we willing to love the Lord more and love less of our family members and loved ones? And this is the word hate there is the same word that you will find when in the Old Testament when God said Esau God hated and Jacob he loved. It is the meaning there is that God loved Jacob more than Esau. And same when Jacob relation with the two wives is the same word there used. Jacob loved Rachel more. Is it Rachel? Rachel more. Sorry, got it wrong. Rachel more than Leah. So it's the same word. It's not asking us to hate. But you see, what this verse is teaching us is when the time comes for us, for you and me who call ourselves disciples and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, when that time comes for us to choose between loving the Lord Jesus and loving our loved ones, and for that matter, loving anyone else or anything else, we must be willing, we must be prepared, and we must be ready to give the Lord Jesus Christ the preeminence in our lives. Are we prepared to do that? Have we been doing that as followers and disciples of the Lord Jesus? In every aspect of our lives, whether in our secular work, in our studies, in our life, in the church, or anything else, did we give Christ, our Lord, the preeminence? Do we seek to glorify the Lord only? Or do we seek to glorify our own name when we serve the Lord, when we render help to others, when we live our lives as a believer, when we want to show kindness to others, when we go out witnessing, when we do our work, whether in the office, as an accountant or as an engineer or whatever, and when we do our study, do we as followers and disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ give Christ the glory? That we seek not for our own name so that others will praise us, but we seek to manifest forth, to show forth Christ in us. That is this verse, what this verse is all talking about. So, brethren and friends, believing and receiving Jesus Christ as our personal Savior is not just about gaining salvation or receiving salvation. It is more than that. And many, many have mistaken that to be a Christian and thereafter to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ is to just daily keep our routines, read our Bible, pray, and when we are in trouble, seek the Lord, and when we remember to give thanks, then we give thanks to God, and that is about all. No, it is about giving. It is about rendering our whole being, our soul, back to the Savior for His glory and for His service, living every day for Him. That is true Christianity. Have we forgotten the meaning of Romans 12 verses 1 to 2? When Paul says that, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice, your bodies holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. You see, there is the confession, there is the repentance, and there is the action. Be not conformed to the world. But be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove. Prove what? Prove that which is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Have we forgotten that? That we as true believers, or we claim ourselves to be true believers and followers and disciples of the Lord Jesus, have we been doing that? Offering ourselves daily, with the help of the Holy Spirit, of course, to offer up ourselves a living sacrifice for the Lord, whether in our office, our home, whether in our relationship with our colleagues, our friends, our neighbors, whatever areas of life. This must be the life of a Christian, a true believers. We as believers, if we call ourselves disciples of the Lord Jesus must realize that salvation in Christ demands us to be ready, to be willing to make sacrifices for our Lord when we are called upon to do so. That is the demand of the cross and the gospel. The gospel is not just a free gift that we receive and say thank you to the Lord and then full stop and do nothing else. It is a life of constantly living in touch with God. J.C. Ryle, in his exposition thoughts on Luke, in Volume 2, commented this. Listen to this. He says, experiences shows, both in the church, at home, and in the mission field abroad, that the greatest foes or greatest enemies to a man's soul are sometimes those of his own house. It sometimes happens that the greatest hindrance in the way of an awakened conscience is the oppositions of relatives and friends. Unquote. The crux of the matter is this. Are we willing? Listen to this. Are we willing to offend our families and friends to please the Lord when we are called upon to do so? Are we willing even to offend when we are called upon to please the Lord and to do His will? Or, as what they say, blood is thicker than water. I'd rather be on good terms with my family members and friends rather to offend them and thereby offending God. The line of duty in such cases, and I realize that, and I know it's real, it is very real. The line of duty in such cases is undoubtedly very, very painful. It is a very, very painful choice indeed. I do not deny that. And it is a heavy cross we are called to bear. And that is the demand of the cross and the gospel. It is not simply a free gift per se without condition. There is a condition, so to speak. After salvation, it is a life of bearing the cross of Christ daily, at home, at the office, in every aspect of our life. Christian life is not a bed of roses. Christian life is a life of struggle. It's a life, a real relationship with the living God. And are we willing to offend others to please God when we are called to do so? But if this cross is to be laid upon us, we must remember this. If this cross is laid upon us, and it is indeed laid upon us, we must remember this always, that all our crosses were laid upon Christ on Calvary. All our crosses are laid upon Christ on Calvary. And should we not be willing, therefore, to make just a small sacrifice for our Lord? Our cross, the cross that we deserve to bear ourselves, are laid upon Him. And now He is calling us to bear just that, our own cross. Are we not willing to do so, to make that sacrifice? The second condition, we come right now to the second condition we must meet to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the second condition is this, to count the cost of discipleship. We see that the multitude follow the Lord Jesus. They have not given enough thought and consideration on this matter of following after the Lord. The Lord Jesus knew their heart, and that is why it prompted Him to give them this lesson. He knows all these people are following Him for the wrong reason, because they have not counted the cost. They have not considered very carefully, very soberly, what it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. They have not understood that to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, has nowhere to lay His head. Are we prepared to do that? He is telling this follower, this multitude of people, are you prepared to do that? The Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. It will not be a life of comfort. It will not be a life of easy going, relaxing. Just go along. There will be times your so-called your loyalty, your dedication, your commitment to the Lord will be tested. And so he knew that. And so he illustrated this whole parable, or rather this whole lesson, with two examples. And we do well, brothers and sisters, we do well to remember constantly that it will cost us something to be a true Christian. There is a price to be paid to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. Let us never forget this. To be a mere nominal Christian and go to church is cheap and easy work. And that is not true Christianity at all. It is more than that. It is more than just coming to church for Sunday services every week. And that is about all. Or reading your Bible and praying at home. It is more than that. You are either a Christian or you are not at all. There is no biblical basis for nominal Christian. There is no such teaching in the Bible. It is either you are so-called a full-fledged Christian, truly born again in the Spirit, or you are not at all. There is no neutral ground. Too often, far too often, many, as I said, are eager and quick to get into becoming a Christian. They are eager to come forward. They are eager to say, "Yes, Lord, I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior." When they are invited to do so without seriously considering the real implication. But besides that, the blame must also, we are not to blame only these people who are eager and quick to come. The blame also must fall on who? Falls on the preachers and pastors and Christians. Why? Because while doing evangelism, Christian pastors, preachers, in their eagerness, in their enthusiasm to fill up the hall with people, to win others for Christ, what do? They candy-coated the gospel and gave a watered-down version of the cross and the demands of the cross. They did not mention this when they shared the gospel with others. There is the demand of the cross and the demand of the gospel. And that demand is very, very, very high, as we see in verse 26. Dear brethren and friends, we have forgotten that to be a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is to hear His voice daily, is to follow Christ daily, is to believe in Christ daily, and to confess Christ daily. And all this, my friends, brethren, all this requires much self-denial. It's not going to be easy, especially when we are called to choose. Called to choose between spending our time with the Word, in the Word of God, and spending our time in our other work, especially when our work demands us to meet the deadline. It is a tough choice, but yet, brothers and sisters, you and I cannot deny the fact you have to make a choice. Something has to go. something has to do. What will that be? The Lord or our work? Furthermore, we have also forgotten to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a true Christian. We must fight the enemy. There is the world, there is the self, there is the evil one. Three enemies to fight. And one enemy, the main enemy I would say, is enough to kill us. And that is ourselves. That struggle of the old nature in us and the new nature is enough to destroy us. And what more right now, we have three. The world, the self, and the evil one. There is a battle to be fought. The enemies comes, in verse 31 says, with 20,000 men. That's how formidable the foe is. And that is what we are facing, isn't it? The demands of our life, the work, the study, the family, the children, the concern of our career, financial matters, all these are our enemies. They will come, not 10,000, you have only 10,000. But each time when Satan launches his attack and demands of our time, the Lord, when he demands of our time, you have a tough choice. 20,000 will come, and we have only 10,000 to fight. But are we willing, with the Lord's help, to fight? And then, we must ask also here, why did our Lord Jesus tell us to count the cost? Why did he ask us to do that? Is it not good to have this whole hall filled up with people? Do we not like to see this in our church? To fill up all this, right until the top, and perhaps even right outside. It is good, isn't it? Is our Lord Jesus trying to make, or making the gate of heaven to appear narrower than it is necessary? Is the Lord setting obstacle for us to enter into the kingdom? The answer is very simple. It's not too difficult. The Lord Jesus here, brothers and sisters and friends, is wisely giving us this warning. The warning of following him just out of mere emotional uplift and a temporary excitement, or out of pressure from our friends when we were invited to receive the good news. The Lord Jesus is warning us this, of coming to him just out of mere, at that moment when you hear the gospel, yes Lord, I want. But we have not counted the cost. And these oftentimes will lead to these people who are so quick to respond to the gospel, it leads them oftentimes to what? Backsliding and going back to the world and shame the name of Christ. That is the danger. That is the warning here. Who does not want to fill up the whole of this place with people? There are 1,001 method to do it. But our Lord is telling us this. Do we want people to just come in? A moment of spiritual high, so to speak? Do we not find this in many of the churches? Including ours. Those who once upon a time, in a moment of fire, in a moment of zeal, they leap forward to receive Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. And the very next moment when crisis hit, when they meet with an obstacle, perhaps because of a relationship problem or whatever problem, and then they decide to leave the Lord for the world again. And thereby, by their leaving, they bring mockery and shame to Christ's name and the church. So you see, this warning, the Lord is very wise in giving us this one. He desires his kingdom to be filled, but he does not want people to come to him just to receive salvation and not realizing there is a cost of discipleship. our Lord Jesus had no wish, had no desire to admit numbers into his kingdom by allowing soldiers who would fail him in the hour of need. For this reason, and for his own glory, the Lord Jesus warns each one of us, to count the cost before we launch forward to take up the cross and follow him. We have to take note of that. Brethren and friends, it is not difficult. It is so simple and not difficult to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in him. What does it take for us to just say it out in less than 2 seconds? That you believe and confess with your mouth and believe in the Lord. It's so simple. But to be a true Christian and to bear the name of Christ is not just attending regular services and occupying ourselves with some church or church work or services here and there, and that's it about it. The demand of the cross and the gospel is not a passive, lukewarm relationship with the living Savior. It is a relationship with the Savior that calls for daily consecration, dedication, devotion to him, that sometimes, and it will come, that sometimes requires us to make a stand or to choose between the Lord or family and friends. It will come. And when that time comes, who would you choose? Brethren and friends, the life of a Christian, a true Christian that is a life of warfare, is a life of struggle, is a life of sacrifice. There will be times you and I have to take side. Whether it is the Lord or our loved ones, whether it is the Lord or the world, or whether it is the Lord or mammon. I close with the words of Joshua to the children of Israel and to us all. At the end of his military career as the spiritual leader of Israel, Joshua has this to say and has this to tell us. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil to you, listen, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. And he closed with this. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can this be our prayer? Will this be our real prayer from our hearts from this day forward? And as we reflect and examine ourselves at the close of this year, will this finally be our prayer? Lord, yes, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Consider very carefully, brothers and sisters in Christ, as we approach and will be, God willing, stepping into the new year. consider our relationship with the Lord Jesus soberly, carefully, thoughtfully. To be a Christian is very easy. To live one, it is not so straightforward. The demand of the cross and the gospel is real. It is taught in the scripture. It is not a life of just plain sailing, attending church, doing this and that a bit here and there, and that is about all. It is more than that. And you have to decide. Because if you do not decide, and whether you decide or not, at the end of the day, when you and I come before the throne in judgment, we will have to give an answer to the Lord what we have done with this life that He has so graciously, lovingly blessed us with and given us so many opportunities, so many chances to come back to Him, to repent. So while there is still day, while it is still day, while there is still time, consider very carefully before we end the new year, before we end this year and step into the new year. Let us pray. Oh Father in heaven, once again this evening we are reminded of such a privilege and honor that you have bestowed upon us, your people, that you have given us this day your word, and that you have led us unto yourself to this life, life eternal, life abundant in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we confess, Heavenly Father, that oftentimes we have squandered this life away. We have wasted much time and energy and going back to the world. Oh Lord, please turn us unto Thyself, I pray. Help me, help each one of us, your children, that we may turn to Thee and wholly follow after Thee. Oh Lord, we confess that we are weak, and we ask for more of the mighty Spirit to rest upon us, Thy people, to help us, to lead us, to prompt us, to move us, to stir us, to challenge us, to comfort us, to encourage us, that we may persevere on in this straight and narrow way that lead to life everlasting. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.